Up next on your favorite radio station, it's hour one of the Dr. Future Show.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. Ladies and gentlemen, KSCO presents the Dr. Future Show. If you would like to join in our show today, you can call us at 831-479-1080. That's 831-479-1080. And now, your host, Dr. Future.
Hey, folks. Happy Future Tuesday. Welcome to another beautiful day in the Sanity Cruise, as we call it, where you actually get sane by being here.
And then you get to cruise.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely beautiful day.
Speaking of sane cruise.
That's Mrs. Future on the line here with me.
We have quite a few sane and insane folks here with us today.
Yeah, it looks like we have a studio full of people even before our guests arrive.
That's right. Yeah. Today is going to be a very big conversation with lots and lots of participation. We hope that includes y'all at 479-1080.
Yeah. The main interview on the second hour is with Don Latin, who used to be a Chronicle journalist, who's written a book just recently on psychedelics and psychotherapy. He's going to bring us up to date on what the latest research is in that arena. Mm-hmm. And it's not just psychedelics, it's in pathogens too, like MDMA, and how these are being effective in new forms of treatment. Meanwhile, we have a number of stories for you, Dr. Future stories, Mrs. Future stories, interspersed with some comments from our current studio visitors, Brian D. Harden, a film and music creator visiting from Los Angeles.
Oh, hello.
Welcome, Brian. First time on Dr. Future.
Yes.
Yeah, good. Welcome to our crazy show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you came up with Bruce Erickson in the car, an old friend of mine. I've known him since the 70s. Whenever Bruce is around.
Was he your babysitter?
he could have been.
The friendship is old. People are always young at heart.
Yeah, in Alan's case, that diaper change was really a tough job. Okay.
Yeah, you didn't want to have to do that. Actually, Bruce, I took my first cosmic new age training course. What was it?
Silva
mind control. Yeah. Right, Silva mind control. Supposed to improve memory. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been controlling minds ever since. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And he had brought in. Bruce, who was an entrepreneur at the time, he had brought Uri Geller to Montreal, his first big project that I knew him on. He had a certain street cred in dealing with the weird and arcane and the consciousness world back in those days. Mm. You know, I mean, Uri was quite an enigma. Because he claimed to be the real thing. He claimed to be actually doing psychokinesis and bending metal and things, spoons and all that kind of stuff. Not just a magician, mm-hmm. right? So I was kind of curious. And according to Bruce,
he had to work real hard to get into Hogwarts those days. I mean, it was really tough. You had to really prove your metal. Okay.
Yeah, you had to bend it.
So instead of bending the physical, do you feel like there's mental or spiritual things instead of just the physical that are now the new versions?
Yeah, I think the inner realms are as vast as the outer realms, and humanity is poised right between the largest of the large and the smallest of the small, and the most, you know. So we have access to whole realms. That's why I think the psychonauts is a valid term, you know, because there's a lot to explore in those arenas, as much as there is in outer space, believe it or not.
Inner space.
Exactly. They're yin-yang, where they're complements.
Yeah. And humanity's space is evolving and expanding all the time.
Yeah, and we're trying to come up with good maps to understand all this information and stuff that we're coming in with. So being a map maker is one of the things I enjoy doing, and I consider Bruce to be an early map maker in tracking these things.
I've been a meditator for many, many years, and I just was introduced to meditating twice a day. Twice a day, and it really does work. Have you tried it? Twice?
Well, it depends what you mean by meditate. I mean, I don't formally do meditation. I mean, I enjoy my nothing box, if you will.
Are we in it right now?
No, hopefully we say something interesting. But you got to start with nothing in order to get something. You create the space for it.
Well, the best mantra is nothing.
Really?
Nothing.
What would a donut be without a hole?
Nothing.
It would be a scone. I don't know.
Nothing is something, right?
Yeah. Well, see, that's a good thing to meditate on or contemplate. I would normally call that.
Yeah, it turns out nothing is way better than everything, and it's way bigger than everything.
Yeah. And Shakespeare talked about no thing, and playing with no thing and nothing, metaphorically. So yeah, it's deep. It's zero and one. All of our technology is based on nothing and one. So yeah, I can go on forever about nothing.
Yes, but you also have all these headlines about things, like one of the things that...
Yeah, what you got your attention, Mrs. Future? What's
it seems to me that the theme of the show today, based on the links that you put together on the DrFutureShow.com links page, is we're going to talk about making things with newfangled technology, with robots, with 3D printers.
The 3D metal printers.
Yeah. And architectural scale printers. So those are the kinds
printers.
Of things that we'll be saying nothing about today.
So the first thing on the news was that the X-37B space plane returned to Earth and made an autopilot landing in Florida. You heard about the robotic X-37?
How come that got your attention? What's so exciting about this rocket ship?
Well, here's the thing. We've been making a big deal about the shuttle ending and having to use Russian spacecraft in order to go up to the ISS. And that one day soon, SpaceX and United Launch Alliance will start allowing us to launch our own rockets again. Well, it turns out, and as many of us know, that the Air Force has had its own shuttle for years. It's called the X-37B. And what's different about it is that it's a robot.
It's a robotic space plane. It's much smaller.
You could fit two of them in the shuttle bay of the old shuttle. It's really small. But it goes up on extended missions. This last mission was for over 2 years on a classified mission in Earth orbit. As to how high it is or where it went, we don't know. But we know it's come back, and it's its fourth mission, and all of them have been extended periods of time for months and months and months at a time, doing weird things in space and then coming back. Mm-hmm. And our Air Force just lets us know when they take off and land.
All right. Well, welcome back. Welcome back, so, Mission X-37B. That's such a good name. So memorable.
So I have a link there. X-37B. You see, Boeing And Boeing.
If you're a robot, yeah, great name for a robot.
Well, it is a robot.
How come they didn't give it a cool name like, you know, Space Dog or...
You know? Well, I don't know. Maybe they did, and we just don't know it.
Cargo Basket.
That's not necessarily a cool name, is it?
Well, I'm, you know, caught on the spot here. You got an idea?
Phoenix.
Of course. Perfect. Yeah. Yes. How come they don't have a cool name like Space Phoenix? I mean, it's X-37B. I mean, did a robot name this thing? All right, hey, we got to go to a break. Oops.
And now for an oatmeal commercial.
I really don't know, Mrs. Future, why it doesn't have I'll look it up, see if there's anything while we're on the break.
All right.
Stand by.
Folks, you're listening to the Dr. Future Show here on KSEO, and we'll be back.
Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Okay, we're going to go from outer space with the X-37B landing to Elon Musk's Los Angeles tunnel boring machine plan.
Right.
Which was just...
Speaking of great names, the Boring Company.
Yeah, the Boring Company.
Elon, you really know how to pick them. Yeah. That's a good name.
And his idea... is that you have a company that creates lots of tunnels under the earth, and then you move all the cars down there. So all the freeways and everything are under the earth, and it frees up the land to become more agrarian, more pastoral, less hassles with weather and dealing with concrete and asphalt and that sort of stuff. And we have these underground networks.
Right? I have to say, yeah. I love the video that's part of
this
article.
They have a
demo
video of all of how this works.
Little demo video of future transportation and how you can drive your car to a little platform that's sort of in what we would now think of as a parking space.
Right.
And instead, it's a car elevator. And the car elevator will drop you down to the Hyperloop. And then that little platform will stay with you because that allows you to ride at how fast does this thing go?
It goes 150 miles an hour at least.
So,
I mean, probably fast.
So you park your car and hang out while it takes you 150 miles an hour through the Hyperloop from, say, San Francisco to LA. And then gets to the end and then lifts you up again up to the street level. It's so cool.
Musk plans to build an underground network that includes as many as 30 levels of tunnels for cars and high-speed trains such as Hyperloop. 30 levels. It's like a network.
Yeah. He's a Morlock, right? He's got to go tunnel to get where he's going.
No. Why do you need to be a Morlock to see the value of the underground?
All I'm saying is it's the Morlocks who lived under the earth in the future.
Well,
right?
In H.G. Wells' The Time Machine, yes, but not in reality. Look, the underground gets a bad rap. It's where, like, Satan is from, right? It's where the fires of hell. I mean, all supposed to be underground, right? Heaven is up above, but that's a metaphor for reality.
It's
right?
Way easier to go underground than to the heavens.
Yeah, it's much right. And our underground is extremely useful. Can you imagine if we got all of our transportation off the surface of the planet and we can enjoy it as a beautiful place?
Absolutely.
Just think of all the scenery, wonderful scenery you'd see going through a tube underground, okay?
They'd have to line the walls
with television sets to show
you. Well,
you
don't want to have to look under there. You got a good point, Bruce. Absolutely. You don't want to have to look at it. So it's all going to be little pods with virtual experiences on the pods.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for light show artists.
And it'll all be
artists.
Autonomous. It'll all be robot vehicles. There won't be any people driving underground, but they'll be shuttled around like bits.
I much prefer my Morgan three-wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Much more fun.
Well, you'd have some places on the surface of the planet where you could have fun, Bruce, with your car. And that's really what you want, right?
Touring
you just want
is going to go away.
You don't have to drive your
we
normal car to
LA. We live on a beautiful planet. You'll be able to visit.
Yeah.
You'll be able to go where you want to go, look
those
around.
Those thrills of riding in the sidecar and the motorcycle on a rainy day, oh my God, I just wouldn't give that up for anything.
No, I'm not asking you to.
How about the flying cars?
Yeah.
They're going through a renaissance right now, too. Huh. That's a very interesting area. Dr. Paul Mahler here at UC Davis, an engineer who designed flying cars since the 60s, has been completely enamored with hummingbirds and applying his engineering sense to building craft that can fly like hummingbirds. Finally, his vision is starting to come true.
Yeah, finally, lots of people are in the flying car marketplace, including some local engineers designing and working with Google. So
a lot of them have studied with the doctor.
Imagine how that's going to change the off-grid people. You could be way away from a road and be off-grid in every way.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Well, and imagine how it's going to change if the predictions about global climate change do occur and all of the California coastline goes 2 feet underwater, then it's going to be a really good time to be able to fly where you want to go.
Yeah. Right?
What's your vision?
Instead of driving.
Where would you like to see it go, Brian?
Well, you talked at the beginning as inward. I keep thinking that it's a merging of technology with spirituality. Okay. So the merging of technology and spirituality is more like how can we collectively do what's right for we in harmony and balance with nature. So every technology question I have usually relates to how that works together with nature.
Yeah. So it's a synergy between nature and our tech.
Yeah. Yeah, because what good would it be to have all of us acting and working like robots and not having feelings and not being able to, like Bruce said, driving the Ducati motorcycle and feeling the air in our hair, you know?
Yeah.
You can't do that if you're in a pneumatic tube.
No, it's a different experience for sure. But I think it's best to think of it as the and is near.
Yeah.
You know, as St. Silicon once said, it's not so much about losing the ability to drive a Bucati in the rain or whatever but the ability to do only that and do only the fun things and leave the boring driving to the boring company here.
Ah.
Though that's going to be creating the underground.
So we can take a nap.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
So we can, or
it
we can watch a movie,
up.
Or we can.
You don't have to be the operator of the vehicle. The vehicle has a lot more autonomy, and you, as the operator, can enhance your experience however you like.
So I need to have a meditative pod, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There you go.
You're a natural for that. You're finding meditating
crank up
twice
the music,
a day.
Wouldn't it be turn nice on the to lights.
Meditate and wake up at the beach house.
We can levitate while we're levitating.
There you go. Yeah. Exactly.
You can have an inner meditation, levitation.
Yeah, maybe you can get there before your vehicle.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Have you ever thought about remote viewing?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah.
Have you ever experienced anything like that?
Yes, as a matter of fact, the drones are bringing remote viewing back in a way that I don't think the populace is aware of yet. The FPV glasses. You put on first-person view glasses on a drone and you fly it with the sticks, it feels like your eyes are the drone and you're flying at, you know, 50, 60 miles an hour and going through hoops and turns and inside buildings and around them. And you talk about a thrill. It's like a flying motorcycle, okay? And
it's like being the bird in flight.
Yeah, it's like being the bird in flight. And that triggers off some ancient memories in the human brain where perhaps they're being triggered off because parts of our awareness experienced that before. Perhaps we were a bird at one time. Perhaps we remember.
So it's in the genetic code, maybe.
A dream. I remember a dream where we flew. Mm-hmm. Or it can be an environmental thing. It can be a genetic thing. It can be either. So that's what's interesting there. Now, if they use those training devices, we should be able to do that in mass. Mm-hmm. So I see the convergence of the drones with virtual reality as a natural next step.
You know, it's kind of an interesting segue to the next article that you have, which is how one of the co-inventors of Siri is predicting that AIs will upload and access our memories. And the whole subject of human augmentation and how we can use the technology to make better humans as opposed to making the technology better and better, right? But actually using our memories to give us more access to our brain circuits and what we can do with it, like remote view, like imagine new scenarios, like turn that imagination into something real.
They have found in physical therapy and rehabilitation that augmentation actually facilitates the healing because if people get acquainted with what it was like to move their limbs again and their brain, their neurological pathways actually heal faster.
So I think we're on the verge of a real renaissance with all this stuff, and it's going to lead us into some rather fun directions. I embrace it because I think it could be massively fun and massively educational at the same time.
Are you a fan of Kurzweil?
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Ray Kurzweil. We have had opportunities to interact with him on several occasions, and some of the people around him, like Amara Angelica, who's right-hand woman, if you will, who we have a really strong connection with. Yeah, it's a small group of people that really track all these things, and really. So it's kind of exciting. Anyway, we'll be back. Actually, we have a local person, a doctor now, who's going to come in to talk to Dr. Future about his event going on in Santa Cruz about all this kind of stuff. You should hear from him after the Purple People Eater song and CBS News.
All right, folks, time for our CBS News break, and then we'll be back with more Dr. Future.
Welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. In this segment, Dr. Future brings you Dr. Now. Dr. Phoenix Now, I believe he's called, who's actually a real person and is organizing an event for this weekend called the Santa Cruz Arts and Technology Festival. May 10th through 13th, actually. It looks like it's starting. Why, now? Could that be, Dr. Now? Is this starting now, the Santa Cruz Arts and Technology Festival?
Well, it kicks off tomorrow evening.
Okay.
We are doing a series of informative panel discussions Wednesday and Thursday evening, and then we have the big festival day on Saturday, the 13th.
Hmm. Now, the festival day, what kind of festival are we talking about? Booths?
Festival.
Excuse me?
It's an arts and technology festival.
Arts and technology. Can you give us an example? Like Burning Man art?
Yeah, what are you looking forward to yourself, my dear?
The
It's not Burning Man. and it's not Make or Bear. It's a bit different. It has some of the elements of both of those, I'm guessing.
Steampunk fashion contest, you say?
There's a steampunk and fantasy fashion contest. There's also a workshop for musicians, online startup workshop.
Online. So if you want to start a company, it's going to be there too. That's cool.
Well, if you want to start marketing, selling your music online, a wonderful musician from the East Bay named Konu, who's been doing this for some time, is doing a workshop for us. Hmm. We have virtual reality, lots of music, robots, interactive games, circus arts, and visionary art.
Hmm. I notice you have something called the Great California Mirthquake. What's that?
That's a very special person, also known as Jester Terrestrial.
Jester Terrestrial.
Yes.
Jester, and like in clown.
He's a physical clown, comedian, and mm-hmm. one of the most unusual people I've ever met in my life. And he's quite amazing. He was a huge, huge hit at our first event, and we bring him back. He's going to be doing a major presentation in the middle of our immersive multimedia theater experience in the evening.
In the evening, okay. So in the nighttime, it goes on through the dark, right? So you'll be on till 10 o'clock or so, something like that?
No, actually till 9.
9? Where
the exhibits and ongoing music is from noon until 6:30 on Saturday.
Okay.
And then 7 until 9 is the multimedia theater.
Okay, the multimedia. Now, I have a little experience with that. I'm kind of curious what you're doing there. Do you have large projections, feedback loops, live stuff going on with the projections?
A lot of live music, several different genres, three different types of projections on a large scale, acrobats and dancers and Jester Terrestrial.
Okay, then. Now, Stephen Kent, I notice, is there too. Now,
Stephen is going to be playing at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
On Saturday?
On Saturday, uh-huh. He's a didgeridoo virtuoso, for anyone who's not aware of who.
Yeah, he has been doing didgeridoos from as long as I can remember.
Right.
It must be and 20 years at least.
He's from Australia originally, and he's a world music expert, mm-hmm. percussionist as well. Quite a fabulous musician. We're just delighted to have him on the bill. We also have William Jerome, who is bringing his LED luminescent grand piano, an invention of his.
Really? Is it a real piano that lights up as he plays it? Or?
Well, it appears to be a grand piano. I believe it's an electronic piano that, instead of strings, has strings of LEDs that are programmed and do various things as he plays. And he's a very good artist as well.
Now, you mentioned drones. So what's happening in the drone world at the festival?
We're not having the military visit, as far as I know.
Maybe demonstrations of what drones are?
Yes, so people expect to have some personal drone demonstrations, and uh-huh. hopefully even the capacity to attempt to fly your own. We'll
yeah, see yeah. I did hear, Dr. Now, that we have a scientist who's locally creating a drone that can carry people. It wouldn't be nice to have a prototype that we can play with.
I have heard that rumor as well. I've heard a man speak about his vision of the commute over the hill being entirely by drone.
Yes.
Years ago, but I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, I'll give you a clue. I'd like to meet him myself. Joe Ben Bever is his name.
Joby Avionics.
Joby Aviation.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an exciting time. I'm glad you're bringing some of these things
absolutely
together.
Absolutely. Well, to show up, I hope he flies in.
Yeah, wouldn't be nice. And you do have a spelunking robot? Is that what it says? A cave robot?
Exactly. A cave robot invented by a young girl who's now a junior in high school. And she invented this a couple of years ago and has just been improving it and creating new models. And she was featured in National Geographic recently. Sasha Jaffaro.
Interesting character.
She'll be at the event on Saturday, but she's also one of the panelists tomorrow night at the Arts, Tech, and Education panel discussion, which, unlike the Saturday event, two of the panel discussions are at the Museum of Art and History downtown.
The MA. The
MA, Wednesday and Thursday evening. And then the panel discussion Friday evening, and the main event on Saturday is at the Center for Spiritual Living, 1818 Felt Street, just off of 17th.
Yes, I'm familiar. The Center for Spiritual Living. Mrs. Future and I actually got married there.
Fabulous.
Yes, we did. It's a beautiful location. Love it. Mm-hmm. Lots of parking, outdoor area.
Yes.
Outdoor and indoor.
Belt Street. It's a great place for an event.
Yeah.
It's just a block away from the swim center for anyone who is familiar with the location.
And what should people do about parking? I know parking is always kind of a challenge around that area.
Well, they do have a big parking lot, but maybe
they have a parking lot, and we will have overflow parking at the swim.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's just across the street, really.
Hmm. All right. Dr. Now, I know you've been involved in creating a number of events over the year. Is this an annual event?
Well, we hope it will be. We did it 2 years ago and took a year to cogitate. and we're doing it again this year, and we'll see.
What's your inspiration for putting all this energy and effort to organizing something like this? Money?
Well, my inspiration is really to inspire others from the arts and tech sectors to come together, to meet, to share, to collaborate, and to innovate sustainable solutions, to really start to work, to continue to work on meaningful projects.
Well, that's what you mean by the slogan, create, collaborate, innovate, celebrate.
Yes.
Nice. And so it's a good place to meet a lot of like-minded individuals, no doubt, as well. Those into innovation, sustainable solutions. Looks like you're into the biosphere as well.
Yes, the first panel discussion is the arts, tech, and education. Mm-hmm. And then the other two are sustainability panels. On Thursday, it's water, agriculture, and permaculture. And on Friday, it's energy, transportation, and climate.
Gotcha.
And we have some wonderful, powerful people on these panels and moderating them.
So that's water, agriculture, and permaculture Thursday night, and energy, transportation, and climate Friday night, 6:30 to 9 at the MA for both of those. Oh, the second one is at the Center for Spiritual Living. Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday are at the MA, and the one on Friday on energy, transportation, and climate is at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Okay, good. And what can people expect this to cost them for going? Like, how about the panels? They're separate from the
panels
festival?
Are $10.
How much?
The panels are $10.
Okay.
And the event on Saturday is $20.
Oh, that's pretty reasonable.
Bring the whole family.
Yeah. Santa Cruz Art and Tech Festival, celebrate the all-day festival.
Come in costume, enter the steampunk and fantasy costume contest, fashion contest at 2:30 on Saturday.
So the fashion contest will be at 2:30. So if you want to catch that could be fun. Yeah, it's always been fun at Burning Man, the fashion contest.
And if you want to learn about online startup, come at 1 o'clock, because that's when that workshop.
The entrepreneurs out there, 1 o'clock. Yeah, fantastic. Great. And you come see the luminescent grand piano, the junkyard gabalon, and all kinds of other techies, robots, virtual reality, drones. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, and give everybody that website so they can check it out online, and then we're going to go to a break.
Absolutely. It's catfest.com, www.scatfest.com.
Scatfest.
Santa Cruz Arts and Technology Festival this week. All right. Thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks so much for talking to me from the future. I appreciate you coming back for just a few moments.
Yeah, well, it all ends up in the now, doesn't it?
All right, folks.
Thank you.
Dr. Future Show. We'll be back right after this break. Thanks. And don't forget about the Scat Festival this week.
Yes, you'll love it. Okay, welcome back to the Dr. Future Show. Okay, that's the Scat Festival, and it's not what you think. It's about arts and technology, Santa Cruz Arts and Technology. So I thought, in terms of the last few minutes here, we do have Brian Harden in the studio and Bruce Erickson, who's listening in the background. I was telling Brian during the break that we'll try to make the Scat Festival for part of the time, but we're working with some Native Americans at another conference downtown Santa Cruz at the same time. And he was telling me that he had quite a history with Native American work himself as a filmmaker, right? And you said your Mayan culture was... Well,
I made two films with Mayans, two films with the Hopi, and then I've traveled with Lakota, Dakota chiefs. And it's all these are typically the spiritual leaders for them. And the one thing I noticed that they all have in common is they all have innocence, full of their innocence and open-mindedness, all these spiritual guys. So when they're really, truly a spiritual person, they're full of laughter, full of love, full of innocence, full of joy.
Hmm. And they like the Dalai Lama kind of?
Yeah, he's a goofball. I actually made two films with him too.
Really?
One called Compassion Rising, and then another one in order to rebuild a monastery that I called the Tashi Limpo Monastery in Tibet. A friend of mine's dying wish was to rebuild that monastery, and so we raised money through making a film.
And the Dalai Lama was part of the making of process?
Yeah, so I got to interview him and travel. And his brother, Norbu, I got to go befriend his son in Indiana. Believe it or not, in Indiana, they've got large Tibetan community, and also in Minneapolis, St. Paul area, they've got a large Tibetan community.
So let me ask you this. Did you, with them or the Native Americans, did you find that there were any stories about star connections with an alien intelligences?
Oh, most definitely. Well, the leader of the Mayans actually says Mayans, Don Alejandro is his name. He would be the Mayan high priest. And he says that the Maya means energy, and that Mayans aren't little short people from Guatemala. They just happen to be the red versions of the Mayans. Mm. That Mayans are red, black, white, and yellow, the four root races of the colors.
Does that mean they were all over the planet in different ecosystems the different
colors? You happen to be a white Mayan, and then...
I see.
And that we're all from the stars, made of matter from the stars. Uh-huh. We are connected to the star beings from off-planet, and our consciousness is connected to that, too. And that we're made of stars, we're connected to the stars, and we star people. And they actually talk about people. Have you ever seen the Hopi dancers called Kachinas?
Yes, yeah.
They actually look like aliens.
Yeah, that's very, very curious.
And then if you look back at all these cultures we just mentioned, they do have lore of something similar, of connection to the star people. And that includes Lakota, Teotihuacan, Tibetans, obviously Africa and the Dogon tribe and so on.
Right. Yeah. And would you say the star travel was more in the realms of consciousness as opposed to metal ships for moving between worlds or realms or what?
We're so connected with physical world.
Yeah, because we're very externally oriented as a culture.
But
right?
we so just recently figured out electricity 150 years ago. And if I would have told you 150 years ago that we would take lightning bolts and run them down tubes and bring them into your house and let the light of the sun
really weird.
And the warmth of a fire in your house, you would have thought I was crazy. And then if I would have told you we could have flown, you would have thought I was crazy. Well, in the same realm, I think in the next few years, we're going to have things that seem like magic, impossible task, spiritually, physically, mentally blow our minds. Yeah. And I know it's happening now. So when the aliens travel, you don't have to do it in a ship. You know, there's light coming out of your physical body, right?
Right. So there's a lot of people are coming to this conclusion is that there's really no separation between us and aliens.
No, you can raise your frequency.
It's all consciousness connection. The inner reflects the outer, and the outer reflects the inner. So you can contact your inner alien, and you'll be fine.
Well, Einstein said, match your frequency to that of what you want. Raise your frequency to light, and you can travel with the speed of light.
So it's all meditation. It's all seeing this as real, and then experiencing it, right? Because you're talking about seeing yourself as light.
Yeah,
that's a visualization.
Yeah,
right. Or maybe using computers.
Or raise your frequency to that of what you want. Yeah, which I think we all are doing. We, conscious co-creation, You know, this festival, this in here in Santa Scat Cruz, festival, huh? Is conscious co-creation. That's what he's doing. And that's what we are all doing, consciously co-creating. You're doing it every time you do this show. It's conscious co-creation.
Seeding the conversation so that we can all go there together. Yeah. Having this kind of awareness be what people are talking about and replacing that with the lower vibration stuff that is available. Right? It's like you can always choose to have a higher vibration conversation, and then you're existing in that world just by participating.
And along those lines, to bring in the science element, I'm all for the shamanic awareness, and I'm also for the science behind it, too, at the same time. And I thought this was very interesting this week in Science Daily about how bonobos may be better representation of the last common ancestor with humans than chimps. Now, that really struck me because...
Because, of course, those are the love monkeys.
That's true.
Those are the monkeys that are always communicating and always touching each other. And they, you know, they're very kind to each other.
They solve conflict through love rather than through war. While chimpanzees basically solve more issues through war than love. So it's an interesting twist to the story. So our scientists are now finding that after examining the muscles of bonobos and found that their muscles are more closely related to us than the common chimpanzee. So
I believe it.
So maybe make love, not war is actually in our DNA.
Yeah.
All the way back to our common ancestor.
And those that aren't, you're more chimpanzee. That's okay. Bonobos and the chimpanzee have to get along.
Well, that's true.
To go back to the Native Americans, part of that, you know, the Mayan 2012 thing was we're rotating around these star systems and we're part of our own star system and the frequency of our star system is changing. Mm-hmm. And that's what that calendar is that the frequency's rising in the whole solar system and all the animals, all the plants and ourselves are raising our frequency. Our consciousness goes with it. Our physical attributes go with it. Taller, faster.
When you say raising your frequency, what do you mean exactly?
Are we talking faster?
You have a higher vibration.
Are we singing in a higher pitch?
Right?
That's what the bonobo...
I mean, the kind of things you think about instead of the fact that James Comey just got fired by Trump?
A lower energy frequency would be anger, argue, blame, complain, fear. Those are low frequency. Love is the highest frequency. And cooperation and conscious co-creation, that's all high frequency.
Right.
And you can feel that yum, and you can feel the growth. We have either two choices, yum or yuck, or really to grow or to decay. So fear and anger and whatever helps you decay and beats others down. And that's what the other apes do. But the bonobos do it with love. Have you ever seen, what do they call, Mbutu? Mbutu is, I think, what they call it. That is giving the positive and working as a conscious co-creation community in love. And so going back to technology, that also works too. How we can use the technology to bring everything together as something that works for we instead of just me. Me making a robot the size of Rhode Island that can go destroy you doesn't interest me.
Well, we do know now that endorphins are released when you help others. And we're actually hardwired for helping others.
Yes.
It's a natural human inclination.
Yeah.
So can that happen on a planetary level?
And it's really the difference in terms of evolution between whether you're evolving with free will or with coercion. Because fear, anger, these are emotional poisons that cause people to shut down and limit themselves and shrink their human potential. But a lot of people use it to get a lot of people on board with their power. And yet the higher vibration is one where people self-actualize and choose to do things cooperatively, resonate with their highest dream, find like-minded others, do things that they have an affinity for. The whole paradigm is one where human beings are expanding and then joining each other in an expanded way.
Are you familiar with the Schumann resonance?
Yeah, the earth frequency.
Like
eight hertz approximately.
Yeah, but they're talking that... I just recently saw some post saying that the Schumann resonance has gone up and down all over the place.
It's been varying more than lately.
Hey, they say gravity is not a constant either,
So there we go back to the idea that our entire solar system is changing things and changing our consciousness, raising our frequency.
Yeah.
So there we go. Love, conscious co-creation.
I think everybody, if you're awake, can feel that something is shifting. And some people think it's for the better and some people think it's for the worse, but everybody knows the change is coming. It's almost here.
Yes, and in the second hour, we'll be talking to Don Latin about his new book, Changing Our Minds, Psychedelic Sacraments and the New Psychotherapy, about how psychedelics are coming back as a therapeutic aid for healing our consciousness.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and I've been reading his book about the Harvard Psychedelics Club and about how the big rift in psychology. Leary and Ram Dass came in to talk about solving your problems and healing yourself with your own consciousness. And that flew in the face of people who were doing Skinnerism, which is about stimulus response and behavioral and control. So the very issue of psychedelics is one that is about whether we're going to heal ourselves with free will or with coercion.
Yeah, and the ability to reprogram yourself is part of it.
All right. That was the first hour of the Dr. Future Show. We're going to be back with Don Latin, the journalist, author.
Changing Our Minds. Psychedelic Sacraments and the New Psychotherapy.